Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled Release Those Who Have Taught You the Ignoble Art of Self-Betrayal. The reason that, I should say at least the primary reason, that we must learn to release those who have been our enemy and those who have lent themselves to shape or misshape our just awareness of who we are. The reason why we must release them is because if we do not, then our hearts and our personalities will maintain that particular shape and that particular viewpoint of ourselves. So we release, that is set free. Epheme is the word that is used in the Greek New Testament for forgiveness. There is another word in the Greek New Testament which means to loose. For instance, in Revelation chapter 1, we're told that Jesus loosed us, or God loosed us from our sin. I want to emphasize the importance of release. In the context of this show, because the attempts to trivialize the Evangelion, that is the gospel, and the attempts to trivialize the essential nature of the Word of God in our lives has been by those who in some manner seek to profit from us in an economic manner. And so what I want to look at in this show is the extraordinary nature of personal distortion at the hands of others. And understand that, yes, if an individual has been abused in some manner by another individual and has taken on an identity to fulfill the very negative actions that has been done toward that individual, it has lifelong significance. So God is here to set us free so that we might walk in newness of life. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said these words in the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount comprises Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapters 5 through 7. Verse 43 reads, "You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemy bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So here's this very compelling verse that summarizes what this show is about. And so we want individuals to understand that there is a way out and that there is hope and that an individual does not have to live out a negative destiny or individuals do not have to live out negative destiny. And this becomes very critical when individuals have been or wounded by a loved one or loved ones who have said some very harsh, critical, and destructive things to an individual. And words do wound. Words can destroy. Words do manipulate. Words do distort. You and I live in a semantic universe. We live in a universe that is a web of words. And so we grow up with a particular language or languages, and we know the subtle meaning. And the subtle meaning, all of words have emotional shading. And when certain words come from the lips of a loved one, they can hurt very deep. They can wound us in a very deep manner. They can create trauma that we can spend our lives attempting to hide. One of the other things about language is that we learn to conceal what is bothering us through language. And so therefore, we learn to live with and we hold on to that wound. Wounds are very sensitive. Wounds are very tender. And wounds have a central focus. Now, we may not be conscious of that central focus that our wounds may have or a wound may have. Nevertheless, it is still there. And it colors our worldview. It colors our perception about ourselves and others, can taint and distort self-awareness, self-identity, self-esteem. And so this is incredibly powerful. Just think. Buckminster Fuller said that the average individual lives 800,000 hours. Now, imagine living a lifetime sullied self-awareness. And so an individual will be shut off from joy, peace, prosperity, from love, from enjoying the richness of life, having a rich and fulfilling life, because there is this distortion. There is this narrative of distortion that colors one's personal perception. Now, it is important not to go to the biblical documents and read verses and create a false overlay. And the individual walks away and says, you know, I've spoken with God and I've gotten over that path and it's gone. It's incredibly important to understand that the Word of God is alive and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit. So the Word of God, in other words, is the breath of God. And as the breath of God, the Word of God is there to help us to perceive and understand who we are and what it is that God wants us to understand about our lives. Jesus said in Matthew 5:44, "But I say unto you," he is drawing an antithesis between the teaching of the rabbis of his day and what the Old Testament really said. Verse 44, "But I say unto you," Matthew 5:44, "But I say unto you, love your enemies." The word agape here, for the word love, is placed in the imperative. And it is a command to do something now, to do it at once. Love your enemy. Now, as Martin Luther King would say, Jesus never said, like your enemies. Because like connotes that there is some kind of there's a different relationship there, a personal relationship involved. But Jesus said, love your enemies. Love is a noun of action in the Greek New Testament. And Jesus said, love your enemies, because if you hate your enemies, then what? We take on the understanding of ourselves, of that our captor or captors want us to have. So we cannot grow as individuals. So we're to love them. Love is a noun of action, as I said, and it means for us is also used in John 3:16. We call it a self-sacrificial. In other words, there's no emotional content in this particular word, but it is an attitude. And so God wants to change our attitude. Now, if I have a hate-filled attitude, if I have a hateful attitude, then my life will be consumed and negative self-awareness, or by negative self-awareness, I cannot be free. If I have an attitude of love, then I am love and forgiveness, or are primary if one is to have a real life. To hate not only destroys the soul, it distorts the personality, and this distortion has its expression down in the very tissues of our body. Now, I'm going to be reading from Love, Medicine, and Miracles by Bernie S. Siegel, M.D. This is what he writes in a chapter called Disease and the Mind. Disease and the Mind. He writes, "The mind does not act only through our conscious choices. However, Many of its effects are achieved directly on the body's tissues without any awareness on our part. Consider some of our common expressions. He's a pain in the neck. This problem is eating me up alive. You're breaking my heart. The body responds to the mind's messages, whether conscious or unconscious. I'm going to read that sentence again. The body responds to the mind's messages, whether conscious or unconscious. In general, these may be either live or die messages. I am convinced we not only have survival mechanisms such as fight or flight response, but also a die mechanism that actively stops our defenses, showing the body's functions, slowing the body's functions, and bringing us toward death when we feel our life is not worth living. Every tissue and organ in the body is controlled by a complex interaction among chemicals circulating in the bloodstream, the hormones secreted by our endocrine glands. This mixture is controlled by the master gland, the pituitary gland located in the middle of the head just below the brain. The output of pituitary hormones, in turn, is controlled by both chemical secretions and nerve impulses from the neighboring part of the brain called the hypothalamus. This tiny region regulates most of the body's unconscious maintenance processes, such as heartbeat, breathing, blood pressure, temperature, and so forth. Nerve fibers enter the hypothalamus from nearly all other regions of the brain, so that intellectual and emotional processes occurring elsewhere in the brain affect the body. For example, about 5 years ago, child development researchers discovered psychosocial dwarfism, a disturbingly common syndrome in which an unhealthy emotional atmosphere at home stunts a child's physical growth. When a child is caught in a crossfire of hostility and feels rejected by his or her parents, thereby growing up with little self-esteem, the brain's emotional center or limbic system acts upon the nearby hypothalamus to shut off pituitary gland's production of growth hormone. The immune system consists of more than a dozen different types of white blood cells concentrated in the spleen, thymus gland, and lymph nodes and patrolling the entire body through the blood and lymphatic systems. They are divided into two main types. One group called B cells produce chemicals that neutralize poisons made by disease organisms while helping the body mobilize its own defense. The other group called T cells consists of killer cells and their helpers, which destroy invading bacteria . The immune system then is controlled by the brain, either indirectly through hormones in the bloodstream or directly through the nerves and neurochemicals. One of the most widely accepted explanations of cancer, the surveillance theories, this was written some time ago, states that cancer cells are developing in our bodies all the time, but are normally destroyed by white blood cells before they can develop into dangerous tumors. Cancer appears when the immune system becomes suppressed and can no longer deal with its routine threat. It follows that whatever upsets the brain's control of the immune system will foster malignancy. But it's very imperative for us to get is that the mind is extraordinarily powerful. And the mind can harm us or heal us. We have a choice to make, and we can choose. We can choose to love our enemy. This is the prescription of the great physician. These are the words of Jesus. Love your enemies. He goes on to say, bless them that curse you, those who wish you evil or ruin. Jesus says to bless them. The word bless is also in the present imperative. Do it at once, do it now. Bless them that curse you, that is those who wish you evil or ruin. Do good to them that hate you. Do good. The good is also in the do, I should say. The verb do is also a present imperative. Do good to them that hate you. And pray. Pray here is a verb. Is also in the present imperative. Pray for them which despitefully use you. So these words, which despitefully use you. If you have ever been used by another, you know what that feels like. You know what it has done to you. You know that you have been galled by that event or that experience. Galls you to remember. And you may be bitter because of that experience. But Jesus says, pray for them which despitefully use you. Or, hear the words mean, threats, insult, slander. Here it is false slander. Well, we don't need the modifiers false, but slander. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, this language is designed for us to have the awareness of what that is. We must understand. God knows that we suffer in life. God came in the person of Jesus to set us free so that we might walk in the light of life. Nothing airy or silly or lightly philosophical about these words. These words are deep, and they are pregnant with meaning. If we would but stop and think about what the type of suffering that individuals face in this life, how individuals deliberately do horrid things in order to create horror, in order to pollute the visual cortex with their ignoble deed, with their horrible deed. They want to hurt. They want to create fear. They want to create consternation. They want individuals to be hyperactive. They want individuals on edge. They want to create hyper-arousal. They don't want you at peace. They want you to be apprehensive and ill at ease and uneasy. They want you to be an unrest within your own skin. They want you to feel trite and meaningless and insubstantial. They don't want you to have freedom. They want to control you through fear. And they want you to be angry. They want you to be hate-filled. Because, and in this way, you can be in control. Because now, they set you up to be angry. And if there's no way to appropriately express anger or to deal with it, they know that. Immunology teaches about this. So, individual's life can be ruined substantially. Because now, what you set off cortisone, you set off epinephrine and norepinephrine, you've sent these chemicals coursing through the individual's body. He is in hyperarousal. He or she can no longer taste food or enjoy life because they're worried about what will come next. Love your enemies, curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute. The words of Jesus are here to set us free. So we release, we forgive, because we do not want to be polluted. We no longer want to be distorted. Again, yesterday I talked about cognitive behavior therapy, and it is the work of cognitive behavior therapy to help the individual realize and get rid of cognitive distortions. It is distortions of thinking in the mind and the brain. To help the individual get free. These penetrating words of Jesus are designed to help individuals get free and remain free, to be at peace. Love your enemies. If you do not love, you will be controlled. If you do not bless them, you will be controlled. If you do not do good to them that hate you, they will control you. They will control your mind. They will control your immune system. They will control you by keeping you in hyperarousal. Anger keeps us in hyperarousal. And if we have a subtle state of anger, and if we are unaware of it, that is even more heinous and dangerous. There are persons walking around today who don't even know they're angry. And they are very angry individuals. Let me say this morning that we have a Savior who died 33 AD on a Roman gibbet, who is offering salvation, giving salvation to us. Jesus has provided what we need to be set free, ever to remain so. Understand that the Word of God is not merely that which you hear in sermons. We must go back to the Scriptures themselves. We must study the Word of God like the noble Berean who searched the Scriptures. We must allow the Spirit of God to teach us the Word of God. The Word of God will set us free. The Word of God will give us God's own peace. Jesus said, "Peace I leave unto you. Not as the world giveth, but my peace give I unto you." Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. When Oh, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, praise God, you may be also." Is that your hope? Do you have that hope? Without being angry with what has happened in the past. Yes, these things happen. Come to God who gives us beauty for ashes. All we bring to God are the ashes and ruin of our past lives. He will give us beauty or ashes. Isn't that a wonderful promise? God loves you. Have a wonderful day, beloved. Go before Him and ask God to help you to release what hit you in the past and taught you the art of self-betrayal. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.